Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our reading today comes from Matthew chapter 13. And it's the parable of the mustard seed. The mustard seed is not the smallest seed in the world. There are other seeds that are even smaller. But throughout the Middle East, especially in Jesus' time, reference to the mustard seed represented something small. It's a very small seed. Also, you'll find mention of the kingdom of God here. And I think the best way to understand this is to think of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. And then we have parallelism, which explains the first line, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom is when God's will is done here as it is in heaven. And for the gospel writers, this kingdom was breaking into human history in the life and ministry of Jesus. Okay. Here's the reading. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in its field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in all its branches. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Do you remember as a child ever just lying down in the grass at this time of year and looking up at the clouds and seeing the configuration of those clouds represent different things? Do you remember that at all? And one of the classic Peanuts cartoons, Charlie Brown, Lucy, and Linus are all doing just that. They're laying down in the grass on a hill, looking up at the sky, and looking at the configurations. And Lucy asks Linus, what do you see in the clouds? And Linus says, well, I see what looks like a map of the Honduras over here. And over here, I see a profile of Thomas Eakins, the sculptor and artist. And over here, I see something from the Bible, the stoning of Stephen. And there's Paul standing aside and watching. And Lucy says, uh-huh, very good. And Charlie, what did you see in the clouds? And Charlie answers, I was going to say a ducky and a horsey, but I changed my mind. How's your imagination? Mine is on par with Charlie Brown's. I see duckies and horsies. But Jesus had a very creative eye. You know, lots of rabbis during the period told parables. They're a very common teaching method of the rabbis. But what sets Jesus apart is the creativity, the way he saw things, the way he could take something that was new and unfamiliar to the people and compare it to something in daily life that they did know. He's very much of an artist in this way, and outstanding in this way. And before us this morning, he's dealing with the question, what is the kingdom of God like? And his answer is, it's like a mustard seed. And our question this morning is, what life lessons can we find in this? What is the kingdom of God like? It's like a mustard seed, which grows into a tremendous bush, a tremendous tree. Jesus told this parable in a specific situation. It was a time when things were not going well in his ministry. Some people had been helped, sure, but many of the movers and shakers of society in the day had either rejected him or ignored him. And they were in a period where the crowds that were around at first were thinning out. The ministry seemed to be going nowhere, and the disciples were feeling very, very down. And it's here that Jesus tells that parable. You know, consider that little mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like that. And it grows into a big tree. And the what? And the birds come and nest in its branches. In Jewish literature, the coming of the nations to worship God was often represented by that image of the birds coming and nesting in the branches of the mustard tree. What does it say to us? I think, first of all, it lifts up patience. The importance of patience. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I get very impatient. And somehow in the supermarket line, I always get in the wrong line, no matter what day it is. And I was in a line, and just this week, the card reader with the person in front of me, the card reader broke down, and it had to be reset, and I was just standing there. There were people behind me. I was boxed in. Impatience. Have you ever made a telephone call and been put on hold? You know, all our representatives are busy with customers. There is a wait time of 20 minutes. I don't like it. I get very impatient. But there are some things that do require patience. You just can't be in a rush. Teachers, you know it takes time to bring people along, bring your students along. I think in business, it can be the same thing. I saw an ad, an article in the paper this week about Cromwell and the travelers, and it was talking about Rory McIlroy. And the heading said, Rory McIlroy, patience is key. And over again in golf, it's been said, patience is needed for consistency. Patience is needed to win. St. Paul, I find interesting. He challenged me a bit. The first thing he says about love in his famous hymn, the first thing he says about love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not insist on its own way. And kindness, I'm appreciating more and more. But patience, I think he might have something there. That's something I'm working on. Now, love is patient. That's the first thing he says about it. Patty and I had an opportunity to exercise patience when our daughters were in high school. And occasionally they bring home boyfriends. And you never knew what the cat dragged in those cases. And on one occasion, one of our daughters brought home this guy with spiked hair, leather jacket, chains, and as a father, my wife thought he was cute, by the way, but as a father, I said, oh my, you know. But I had patience. And I said to my daughter afterwards, what a really nice guy. What a good guy. Because I knew parental approval was the kiss of death. And sure enough, she lost interest very quickly. Patience. Jesus is telling his disciples to be patient. I think he's also trying to encourage his disciples, don't lose heart. Big things can come from small beginnings. And I think we see that in daily life. I can remember when ESPN was sort of a sad bunch of Quonset huts. And today it has a zip code all of its own. It's owned by Disney. It's a big deal. Remember Johnny Carson? King of the Night, Tonight Show? His program, some of you may have been around at that point. If you remember, when he started out, it was an absolute disaster. The first 6 months, I mean, that Tonight Show was going down the tubes fast. Yet you know what he became. Big things can come from small beginnings. You know that smile you gave to someone that eventually became love? I can remember holding my granddaughter in the crook of my arm, and she was so small, and I thought she was so fragile that I was carrying her like glass. And today she's a young woman in college. Big things can come from very small beginnings. It's hard to really appreciate the role of the Congregational Church in foreign missions. You realize that maybe a little over 200 years ago, up at the church in Farmington, five people sat around a table and formed the first Protestant overseas mission group in this country. Just five people. Today, there are more Christians in Latin America, Africa, and Asia than there are in America. And today, probably, this very day in China, there are more Chinese Christians at worship than there are American Christians in church. I mean, it's maybe 10% of the population, but when you're dealing with such a huge population, it's big numbers. And you know who sends out more missionaries than anybody else today? South Korea. And the big expansion in Christianity is supposed to take place in this century in the Pacific Rim. What started small can end up big. And again, you think of Jesus' image of the nations of the world, the birds of the air, coming to make their nests in the tree in the kingdom of God. It's for everybody. big things can come from very small beginnings. Patience. Don't be discouraged. There's something else, I think, in this parable, and that is persistence. And it strikes me that Jesus himself was remarkable in that he must have been feeling, you know, the crowds thinning out, the people going away. It must have affected him. He must have been very disappointed. And yet at the same time, he can bring encouragement to his disciples to continue on, and he himself continues on, even in the rough spots. Patty and I were watching that movie, Sully, again, you know, the Tom Hanks movie about the guy who landed the plane in the Hudson River. And I was reminded again, something I had not appreciated before, is how much that man had to go through beyond just landing the plane in the Hudson River and saving the lives of 150 people. There were all sorts of committees investigating what he had done, and they weren't friendly. All the tests they ran showed that he could have made it to Teterboro safely, he could have made it back to LaGuardia safely. The pressure was on, the worries were there, he was running out of money, he was in danger of losing his job, and there's a scene where he's jogging and trying to run off the pressures, run off the stress and the strain. Had he made the right decision or had he made the wrong decision? And there's something he realizes toward the end that has been missing in the test. There's something they've overlooked. And when they add that piece to the testing, it backs him up. And it shows he could have never made Teterboro. He could not have gone back to LaGuardia. The only option before him was the Hudson River. He was right. There are rough periods, but we are not to give up. Like the disciples. Remember, they turned the world upside down eventually for all their failures. There was an Admiral McRaven who was talking to the University of Texas graduating class in Austin. And he was talking about SEAL training and how that applies to daily life, even to the point, he said, of you make your bed first thing in the morning, you accomplish something. And he said, in the compound where SEALs are doing their training, the candidates are doing their training, there's a bell for everybody to see. And SEAL training is hard. But at any time, anybody can go and ring that bell. And if you ring that bell, it means you don't have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. It means you don't have to do the obstacle course. You don't have to swim in the cold water. You don't have to run all those miles. But then he said to the graduating class, if you want to change the world, if you want to change the world, never ring that bell. Think of how Jesus continued on in the face of adversity. Think of how those disciples, as out of it as they were, eventually turned the world upside down. Patience. Small beginnings can have big endings. Persistence. Those, I think, are the life lessons we have in the parable of the mustard seed. Go and do likewise. Amen.